This is the covenant of Moses. This is the promise made by people to God. And these people were created by God, right? And when God made a promise to Abram, not yet Abraham, setting his people apart, the covenant was established with a sacrifice that the Lord required. Do you remember in Genesis in chapter 12 God's promise? I'll read to you chapter 12, and we're going to, all of us, look at chapter 15 of Genesis. Chapter 12, starting at verse 1, says, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you.'" Coincidentally, that is the verse that God used in the life of the Fraser family to confirm that we would come across the Atlantic Ocean. I had been at one meeting talking to people who I worked with in ministry as part of a team of ministers at a church, and said, at the end of maybe an hour and a half conversation, maybe God's calling me to go over to the UK, back when an American thought the UK was just all one big circle of an island, right? No idea that Scotland and England were so far apart and so near. Yeah. And then I came home to tell my wife, Elizabeth, and poor Elizabeth, she was maybe like wringing her hands. And she was like, "I have something to say." And I was like, "Oh boy, I can't wait to hear it." I was at a Bible study this morning, and this verse came up, Genesis chapter 12. So I came home wondering, how am I going to talk to my wife about thinking, oh, maybe we'll move the whole family and uproot everything and sell all of our stuff and come across with no promise of exactly what's going to be over there. Won't it be great? You know? And then there's my girl looking back at me going, "I don't know how to tell you how I got this notion in my head just from a Bible study, but it's quite strong, and I knew I needed to tell you." And here we are. "The Lord said to Abraham, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" There's God's promise to Abram, who has no children, who is beyond childbearing age, and certainly his wife. So if you turn to Genesis chapter 15, we'll actually read the covenant, because the deal is this. God made a promise to Abraham. What he promised to Abraham happened. God is making a deal with these Israelites, and everything he tells them will happen. And so here's what they're relying on as they meet with God and with Moses. They know this story in Genesis chapter 15. First of all, you know that Genesis, the first 11 chapters, is about God creating stuff and people, right? And then chapter 12 to chapter 50 is four generations of one family: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and his children. Now this one family in Egypt, coming out of Egypt with Moses, is more of that story. So here's the promise that God made to this family who he's bringing out of Egypt. Now, instead of one man and his wife in Genesis chapter 12, now it's millions of people. At least 1.5 million people. Genesis chapter 15 says this: "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. 'Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. I am your exceedingly great reward.'" It doesn't say that in the ESV, but I've got it memorized that way. "I am your exceeding great reward. But Abraham said, 'Oh, Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus.' And Abram said, 'Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir.' And behold, the word of the Lord came to him: 'This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir.' And he brought him outside, and he said, 'Look toward heaven, and number the stars if you're able to number them.' And he said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.' And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness." That verse is why Judaism exists. That verse is what makes the Jewish believer the treasured people of God. It's not whose dad It's not whose descendant. It's not whose forefather. It's he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. And he said to him, God said to Abram, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. I took you from there to here. Now we're reading eventually in Exodus, a God who took you from there to here. Okay? God shows up, he goes, Do I not take you to the nicest places? He said, did I do what I said I would do? I'm going to do more. Make a note in your book, and we'll come back here. But Abraham said to God in verse 8, oh Lord, how am I to know that I shall possess it? Is anybody else here like that? How are you doing? I mean, I know it's true, but God, you know, I find myself a bit churned over the Islamic State. I'm concerned. The government cannot be seen to be as concerned as perhaps they ought to be. You know, and I listen to Facebook people and television people and radio people tell me that over there, that's not Islam. Those are just those are extreme people. Though most of the other people, they wouldn't do something like that. And I figure, you know what? That's probably true about everything on the earth. That there's people who really, really believe stuff, and that there's people who kind of sort of believe stuff. You know, but there's an article in the Atlantic magazine, and I was going to print it out and put it on the back, but it's 40 pages long. And you go see what scholars of Islam, what historians, what Muslim clerics say about the completely Islamic and right even with what the Quran teaches Muslim identity of those people who have established a caliphate in the earth, led by a descendant of Muhammad for the first time since before the Ottoman Empire. That's the historic event that's going on in Iraq right now. I find that disturbing. And because there is now a caliphate which represents a Muslim state, an Islamic state, there is a call in Islam to all to come and defend now the Islamic state. Or to, if you can't get to here from where you are, go get them where you are. And then suddenly, there's these news stories. Oh, it's happened there, it's happened there, it's happened there. And we go, oh, darn, terrorism. It's bigger than that. And I don't come to this pulpit to make you anxious and worried. But the people who mind us need us to be not anxious and worried. Everybody just calm down. Just keep buying and selling. Don't disrupt markets. We'll deal with it over there. And I hope that they will. And we'll pray. But I find myself, I'm unhappy. And here's this guy, Abram, who's going, oh, I don't know if everything's for sure. I mean, here you are, God, I'm talking to you. I know I'm not crazy. I believe you're God and you're here. And I did. I left Ur of the Chaldeans and I came to this place. Right? David Fraser could say, I left L.A. I came to Scotland. You know, it's my reward for all the jerks I've ever put up with in my life, frankly. This is not some kind of hard deal. Don't listen to it that way. Abraham came from there to here. I came from over there to here. Israel has come from Egypt to desert here. God's making promises to Abram, and we're reading them, and he goes, oh God, how will I know? And God says this. He said, bring me a heifer 3 years old, and a female goat 3 years old, and a ram 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought them, and all these he brought. And he cut them in half, and he laid them each half over against the other. But he didn't cut the birds in half, because they're so small already. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. So he's chasing buzzards. Right? Swatting flies. And he's made this offering for God. You know what happened after he made this offering for God? Nothing. For a long time. Because the animals were circling, and he must have been sitting there not moving and falling asleep a little bit in order for them to come down and go, I think I'll eat some of this. And then he jumped up and he's like, ah, get out of here! Get out of here! That's how long in between starting to worship and God showing up, this offering was. Do you understand the passage of time in Scripture that works against your faith? That tests your holding on. Is this real? Is it going to happen? That's what this picture is. And the sun was going down, and a deep sleep fell on Abram, and behold, dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. Because that's what happens when you worship and praise, right? Dreadful and great darkness comes upon you, right? Do you get together? Do we get together to worship on Sunday? And has anybody ever thought, oh, my dear Lord, I can't believe I'm in your presence. I am so sorry for everything about me. You know, has that ever been your response in the presence of God? I know that Jesus Christ bore all the penalty of my sin, and that I may stand before his altar, and that I'm welcomed as a child. So if you come in that faith, well, that's good. That's a healthy place to be. God's not mad at me. God dealt with my sin. He's not mad at me. This guy, Abram, oh, I've never known your presence so strongly, Lord. Right? And then the Lord said to Abram in verse 13 of chapter 15, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and will be slaves there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age. And they shall come back here, where I'm talking to you, in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. What does God wait 400 years to get finished baking in the sinful heart of men and women? What has God got going on inside of you since you said, yes, I will follow? What are the things that you've been praying about since the beginning and you're like, God, I've been praying and it's not yet, and it feels quite plain and maybe like you're not here. But these stories are designed to say it's happened before. You're not the only one. It's happening now. Tag, you're it. This is all really happening. And back then it was really happening, and it surprised some people who had forgotten to hope for it. But it's all really happening. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, now this, listen to this, because this is covenant, right? Verse 17 says this, when the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. I think that's just, I don't know. I got like a VeggieTale picture of it in my head. I can't describe. You know, but so Abraham's alone. He's made a sacrifice, but God has made a promise. And Abraham's not walking out this covenant saying, if I don't do this, may it be this to me. A fire pot and a torch appear and start going between these things. This is God making his commitment. And on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring, I give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates. Okay? The Nile to the middle of Iraq. Everything. Big. The land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, the Jebusites. Yes, the minister practiced those words before he preached them this morning. More was established in chapter 17. I'm not going there to read it. God elaborates on these promises. It's in Genesis chapter 17 where you find the unfolding of God's promises to the Jewish people and to the ancestors of the Arab people through Ishmael. God makes promises to both groups. They both still exist in the world today. There is conflict between fighting brothers today over there. It's because of what God has done. God confirmed his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, through your sons, I will bless Abram. Through the sons that are born to you, not through Ishmael, who you love. That's the biblical witness. You don't come and say, as a Christian who's left this room today, it's one God, we're all one family, we worship Him different ways, because it isn't. Because God said, it's through this, it's not through that. So you have to come back to this and say, if we're all together, that's not true. And so I challenge you, actually I admonish you not to do that. Yeah. So Joseph is in Egypt. Moses, representing God, is the deliverer of those chosen people from Egypt after 400 years of affliction. And in Exodus, God has begun to explain the ethic, the morality of life in relationship with Him. And the people have agreed.